Om Shanti. Welcome everybody to this really wonderful session today. And our guest speaker today is Sister Gopi from London. She has been with Baba and has been teaching for over 45 years. And so we consider her to be a senior teacher in the Yajna now, and she is known for her international speaking tours and motivational education style. And I want to read out a couple of things that she's done because I know of them and I don't want to get it wrong. So she's participated in various programs and sessions, including Be the Change, Q&A session 85, alongside R.J. Srinidhi. And she featured in the video of episode 8, Companion of God, Daddy Janki, where she shared her experiences and insights. And so we are very, very lucky to have her here today with all of us at this very, very special time of the year, just before the 18th of January. And so it's no surprise that the topic of today's presentation connects very closely to the atmosphere that we're experiencing here in Madhuban. And so the topic today is silence, time, and Sakash. So without any further ado, I'll ask Sister to say something initially about these three words, experiences, things, and then we will ask her some questions at some point and perhaps try a few experiments in meditation as well. Om Shanti, please welcome Sister Gopi.
Om Shanti. It's lovely to see so many of Baba's children from all over the world here for 18th of January. It's a month in which we get double bonus of everything. You do 10 minutes meditation, you'll get double benefit of 10 minutes. It's double power and double blessings this month. And whatever seeds I've always felt in my Brahmin journey, that whatever seeds we sow in this special month, they bear fruit beautifully throughout the year. So it's a very, very special time. And these three words, silence, time, in Hindi, time is samay. So they actually are three S's. Silence, samay, and Sakash. And I guess one of the purpose behind these three words for me, which are key words in this month, is to reveal the impact that Baba's remembrance can have in quietening the mind, in helping us to release from the stronghold of our old nature and samskaras, and to become unlimited service. And I want to start with silence, because I remember from a lot of Daddy Janki's stories and the daddies that I've grown up with, that towards the end, Sakar Baba spent a lot of time disappearing in between. He'd be there 1 minute doing something, next minute he disappeared. And that disappearance was his internal practice of going beyond. Daddy Kumarka, who I think some of you here may have seen, Daddy's all emphasis was always the Karmatit stage, and her personal practice to remain in silence to reach that stage. And I remember watching Daddy Jenki on stage when Global Cooperation House was being inaugurated. And Daddy said, "This building is the proof of the power of silence." So there's something about this power that isn't just about remaining up there, but it's about being down here in a very specific mode to enable things to happen as well. Many times people want to separate tapasya from karma. Oh, I want to stop doing this so I can sit and do some tapasya. And actually for Daddy Jenki, it was learning how to be a karma yogi. And that even a few minutes of silence can recharge the battery and download the bhavna and the pure feelings that are needed to help souls transform. So my feeling very much is that silence at a deeply personal vibration helps to keep the mind and intellect clear. Now, at the level of a deeply personal vibration, if I'm holding on to anything negative about anybody or a situation, the mind and intellect can't remain clean and clear. There's noise, background noise. And I feel that in the times to come, Baba's often prepared us that in the times to come when facilities start to fail, it will be this power that enables us to receive Baba's touching and the accumulation of our spirituality. One of the reasons why sometimes we experience obstacles in our efforts is because the force of internal spirituality has diminished. So when the spiritual power lessens, you're like swimming in an ocean and the waves are coming and you're like, I can't breathe, there's one wave after another. And so the key is to always stay just above, right, in mind, attitude, drishti. And it's deeply linked to then when silence is accumulated, touching and catching power improves. And you have way less thoughts about yourself. Because when there isn't enough silence power inside, then, you know, you question, am I doing the right thing? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Where should I go? Maybe, maybe, maybe. There's always a maybe, maybe, maybe somewhere involved. So silence really enhancing the faculties of a clean mind and a clear intellect that are going to be absolutely essential when your mobile phone fails towards the end. It's going to be the wireless set here that does the work. And you know when you say, well, what is silence power? You say silence. Is it emptiness? Is it just being quiet? Is it just, you know, no sound? Baba described the power of silence as the power of deep remembrance. Think about when you're absorbed in remembering something. Temporarily, you're transported somewhere else. Right? You know, when you're listening to the murli and suddenly you find yourself ruminating or thinking about something, you've just missed those lines of the Murali because your attention has just gone somewhere else, been absorbed. And in that moment, what's in front of you isn't being absorbed. So deep remembrance is the absorption of mind and intellect in Baba. Now, I don't think it's possible to remain absorbed all the time because, you know, we still have to act and walk and talk and breathe and move. But it's the coming and going where for a few moments I go sit with Baba, absorb my being into Baba, get recharged, and come back down with the pure feelings that absorption has left me with. And so silence then down here also has the role of pure feelings and good wishes. Because when you touch Baba and you're absorbed in Baba, the heart expands and love flows. And that's what we bring back down into daily life, is God's love. As a pure benevolent wish, a good wish, our eyes see beauty when there is love. And the thing about the way human dynamics work is that I find that whatever state of feeling one is in, it ignites that feeling in another. So if you're in deep happiness inside, someone coming in your presence will experience that. And that same experience will be ignited. And so the power of silence in the body is the accumulation of pure thoughts and good wishes and the language of drishti. For me, this has been a very important touchstone in Brahmin life. You know, Baba's drishti just penetrates right into the system. Baba's drishti clears doubt away, clears everything. Baba's drishti says, I know who you are. You're a master. Stand up. Baba's drishti is affirming. Baba's drishti refocuses everything. And so when we absorb in Baba, you're literally, your mind and intellect are wrapped around Baba. You are absorbing everything that is in Baba's vision for you. And when you come back in, down into the sakar form, you come back with your eyes filled with that. And it's so beautiful because then the eyes are filled with that love and that light and that respect that Baba has for you. And that's what then everybody else becomes a recipient of. And they start to feel elevated and dignified in your company. When silence power is lacking, and you haven't given that time in between to really wrap your mind and intellect around Baba, then you sit with your own thoughts. And because you sit with your own thoughts, sometimes you can overthink and there's no feelings there. So we come into human relationship mechanically, just for the job, just for the task. We focus on the efficiency, but there's no juice there. Relationships feel dry. It's never about, you know, oh, I want somebody in my life that's going to make me feel happy. You already have somebody in your life who's actually given you a guarantee that no matter what, he's going to be with you. He wants to make you happy. The point is, how much am I utilizing that connection? And so for me, accumulating silence whilst performing karma is the key here. It's not a separation, because it's through karma we've performed sin. It is through karma we have to accumulate the power of remembrance and the power of silence that allows that karma to be purified. So it's really about the top stage. And that was often talked about, the top stage, you know, where for a few moments in between, you take yourself to Paramdham, become bodiless, the point with Baba, the ocean. So just take a few moments now and turn your attention inside. Step away from everything else, from the to-do list, from your story, from your history, from other people. And feel yourself inside. And as you feel yourself inside, allow all that energy to concentrate, rise up and concentrate behind your eyes. There is a Shakti that animates this body, and you allow the energy of that Shakti to concentrate into a form of light behind these eyes. And then in 1 second, take yourself to Baba in Paramdham. Baba, the ocean of love, the ocean of bliss, the ocean of knowledge. And I rest the soul, the mind, the intellect, I rest in Baba's company. Bring yourself back into the sakar form. And just observe how you feel. Om Shanti. How do you feel? Full. How do you feel? Loved. Light and peaceful. it's a few moments, right? This is absorption. Takes you into that silence, fills you, come back down. And then when you come back with these feelings, you're like a lamp. You're like a lit lamp. And all you have to do is your lamp lights another lamp. Lights another lamp. Lights another lamp. And so this is a practice that not only Sakar Baba, but I've seen Daddy Jenki, Daddy Komarka, Daddy Gopsar again and again and again do. And this then starts to eliminate this divide that we put between karma and yoga. Where we get so absorbed in karma and matter that we get so tired and then we think, I just want to sit and do nothing. And just have yoga. This isn't the path of sannyas. This is the path of becoming a king. Swarajya Adhikari. Yeah. So this is silence. This whole thing of so much can happen with the power of silence. You know, there have been moments when you meet people that have a certain attitude. Yeah? Now we say in the West, oh, they've got an attitude. So the silence, this power of silence you greet them with, can help you see past that attitude and melt them. Several times I've had souls come to me with a certain attitude, and when I greet them with this feeling and we talk for a while, suddenly they release the attitude. They can't hold it for long. Because whatever you've taken from Baba pushes through right into that soul. You know, Baba's often talked about the power of silence. It'll be so clear, as if the other person will feel as if you're speaking to them. Daddy used to go into people's dreams. Often people would say, she's come into my dreams. So there's something about the power of silence that allows the amplification of the communication of pure vibrations. You can help a soul feel their goodness with the power of silence. And it plays a major role in transformation. As a Brahmin and as a yogi, this is the greatest power. The power of facilities and words have no match against this power. And the absolute transformation it can help to bring. So it is a capacity we have to build by flexing the muscle of going beyond, coming back, going beyond, coming back. Then, Samay, time. And time is really about understanding the value of this time we're in. Throughout the whole of this cycle, we were descending. Time was changing, but in descent. And now, this is the time of transformation, of ascent. I'm sure at some point in the cycle, as things were descending and we were looking at everything descending, you must have felt, oh, I can't do anything about this. And we created sanskaras of helplessness, of fear, of hopelessness. And we bring these, we carry this as an inheritance from our Tamopradhan Kaliyuga stage. And then we have this awkward relationship with time. I don't have enough time to make effort. Will I get there? And I've said this before, but the avyakt creation is a creation of the last so fast so first. Because avyakt bhavdada became avyakt so that he could speed up service and reach out to all those souls that he couldn't do physically. And that's why it is a time where you can go from last to first to first. And the thing about this is that, you know, time and transformation has a connection with our sanskaras. And how do you know that your transformation is happening? When no one actually says to you, you know, this one is really good, but they've got this sanskar that's always suppressing them or holding them back. So transformation is a process of reinventing yourself and really releasing from your old sanskars, so that at the end, even you don't recognize yourself. And nobody else can say, oh, you know, she's good and she's great, but she's got this little sanskar. When that voice finishes, then you can say you're close to your complete stage. And I remember Daddy would often say to us, you know, discover, find what it is. What is the main root sanskara that keeps expressing itself through your swabhava, your nature? And it pulls you back into a reaction, pulls you back into an old cycle of behavior. So time. And you know, the other word for time is kal, which also means death. So this is finishing time. This is not opening new books time. The confluence age is the time for completion. We need to be closing up shop, closing books, closing account books. We need to be in finishing mode. And Sakash, the first two create the capacity for Sakash. Because until you've used silence to clean your mind and intellect, released your mind from the stronghold of old sanskaras, it cannot be liberated enough to stay with Baba and serve from an elevated stage. And you know, I know a lot of people talk about Sakashas, oh, you know, just let's visualize sending light and might. This isn't a visualization process. It's not an imagination process. It's a state in which I rise up and I stay with Baba, and there's nothing between me and Baba. No other vibration exists between me and Baba. Of any person, any situation, any issue, nothing. And in that state, Baba's light and might can reach wherever it needs to reach. Because it's like having, you know, the main router and then the small connecting router. You amplify the signal. The reason why we're Baba's children in the task of in world transformation and service is because he needs us mini routers located around the world to amplify his signals. And yes, you know, the capacity to develop good wishes, pure thoughts, all of this, keeping your mind and intellect constant, is preparation for serving in an unlimited way. And I remember recently a conversation with Sister Mahini and Sister Jenti. You know, we were talking about the fact that it's so important to receive Baba's light and might. So when I'm going up, I'm not going up with the purpose to give, because I don't have anything to give. But everything that I'm receiving from Baba is what is emanating out to others. So creating a mind that can absorb from Baba fully. And the other thing is that, you know, Sister Mahini used this beautiful word. She says it's about being a karma yogi farishta. Right? So the power of silence, the karma yogi, accumulating silence and action. But the stage of sakash is the karma yogi farishta. You wave a magic wand of light. You help, you stay light, you make others light as you move through the day. That's what it looks like practically. It's not a stage of doing nothing. So, you know, the to become an embodiment of sakash, the whole subject of remaining double light is very important. You know, our purity is our power. And when we mess around with our purity, we're compromising our power. Because one is the light of purity, and the other is the light. The light is in the state of the soul, light. Both are needed. And that's why really going into the depths of knowledge and understanding Baba's intention, Baba's perspective, the Murli is Baba's breath. The Murli is Baba's pure essence in words. Where you're starting to clear away all the body conscious belief systems we hold in relation to love and other things. And it leaves the soul feeling very liberated. And the more you want to love Baba, you have to love Murli. Because that's what creates the closeness in relationship. So the closeness in relationship amplifies the receiving and giving of sakash. So I think I'll stop there.
Wow. Given us a lot of very deep churnings there. I really enjoyed the commentary that you gave us, and it's so important to have experiences of these things. Then we know we believe they're real and that they have an application in our life. We had one on silence, and I wonder if we might be able to have one on time as well, because if I may give an example of an experience of something that happened that seemed to be beyond time. So there was a particularly difficult situation in my life about 12 years ago, and I was, you know, approaching it by having extra meditation at Ayurveda, getting up an extra hour for about 6 months, and one morning I heard a voice in my head saying everything is going to be fine, and I felt that that was Baba's voice, and my reaction to that was that I felt the burden was completely taken away from me and the situation resolved itself. A few years later, I was looking back at that situation and I was seeing myself, and I said to myself, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. And at that moment I realized, I think I heard myself saying that, my future self saying that. Is that possible, that in a way time doesn't exist? It's like a continuum, and that we can connect with our future self, which is further along in time, but maybe that is just an illusion.
Mm-hmm. You know, let's look at it this way. This moment right now is the past, present and future. This moment right now is eternal. So literally, Every moment is a footstep in eternity. Quite literally. And when you see it like that, everything is okay. Because Baba never left. Your complete stage hasn't left you. It's all there. But it's only when you step into that eternal and unlimited awareness can you be reassured by the eternal bond that we have. Because that intelligence works in the eternal dimension. Does that make sense?
It does, but you know, there's such an interest in this idea of time travel, right?
Yes.
So you've got your science fiction interest in time travel, and you've got what Baba says. So it's great to hear something about, you know, what is Baba's version of time travel, you know, spinning the cycle, the experience of the eternal now,
yes,
things like this.
Well, Baba started giving us the drill. And the drill, when he talked about the five forms drill, do you remember? And he gave us homework to do it 8 times a day. Because, and it was a second. He wasn't saying few minutes. One moment, the bodiless point. Mm-hmm. The next moment, satya. The next moment. And he'd asked us to do it in 5 seconds. So, you know, here we are, we elongate time because we think. And because we think, our energy doesn't concentrate. You can't think your way into concentration. I think sometimes this is where sanskars play a role. That time and sanskars have a deep connection. Which is why in the Golden Age we don't experience Rajopradhan sanskars, Tamopradhan, even though we have that set of sanskars inside the soul.
Mm-hmm.
We have Sato, Satorajpradhan, Rajopradhan, the all 3 sets we have inside. But according to the time, those sanskars emerge. So the time now is the confluence. It's the time to be a Raj Rishi, a royal renunciate. It's a time to stand in the dignity of your purity and be Maryada Purushottam. It's a time for renunciation. So it is a time to renounce certain tracks of thinking that are created with old sanskars. Often when we would go to Daddy, you know, with, for example, reports on what happened here and what happened, she would correct our thinking. Don't think like this. And I started to realize over a period of time that we are so used to operating. Our default operating system is our nature. And there's something in our nature that makes us, that's created a mindset in which we reside in. We live in this mindset. We see everything through this mindset. But the moment you renounce that nature and you really come into that identity of being only a child of Baba, not an Australian, an American, a Japanese, a Russian, it doesn't matter what that is. But you release the cultural definition of what you are and be a child that belongs to Baba. You literally unhook. It unhooks because the culture hook is very deep. The culture hook of being a particular nationality creates a fear-based mindset, a judgmental mindset, an arrogant mindset. And from that basis of a cultural identity, we're trying to come close to God. It's impossible. So, you've been sitting for 30 minutes, right? I'm going to ask you to stand up and sit down 3 times, please. Okay. Wherever you are, I want you to sit up straight. And take a deep breath in. Hold it. And release. Slowly. And on the out breath, bring your attention into this moment now. Breathe in again. Deep breath. Hold it. And release slowly. And bring your attention into this moment here and now. And one more time, a deep breath. Hold and release slowly. And just observe your breathing. And now follow your breath to its source. Go deep inside. Into the being inside that gives life to this body. And once again, feel that Shakti and let it rise up and concentrate into a star of light behind these eyes. And for a few moments, you step away from your self-image and become this pure light. And let go of everything. You're seated on the seat of being a master of your senses. So in your mind, repeat this statement 3 times slowly. I, the soul, am a being of light and peace. I, the soul, am a being of light. And peace. I, the soul, am a being of light and peace. I am a master of my senses. And in this awareness of being a master, I now choose to stand up and sit down 3 times again. And each time I stand up, I, the soul, choose to stand up. Then when I sit down, I, the soul, choose to sit down. Back to that awareness again, the center of your forehead, and just completely forget what you did. Did you feel a difference between one and two? What was the difference you felt? You were what? You had more awareness of your actions. And it was a peaceful experience. And the first time? It was like, it was mechanical and fast. Others? Sorry? That's the first time.
No, all the time.
Right.
Yeah,
so you felt obedience. Yeah. What was the difference between the feeling the first time you did it and the second time?
It's like I'm obedient once and I'm just surrendered to Baba. Baba is saying up. And because you use the word choose.
Yes. Okay, so hang on a second. Wait a minute. You've just done a lot there with your own mind. You've done a lot there with your own mind. So, the question was, the first time you stood up and sat down, what did you feel? And the second time you stood up and sat down, what did you feel?
I feel like
just Baba said. Okay. This is very interesting. Yes. The second time you felt in your authority, okay?
The first time that I just did it, as you said, as an instruction. And second time when I did, I was in awareness and in clean moment. The second time I said, "You really want to get up?"
Okay, so the first time was following a set of instructions. The teacher's telling us we got to follow, right? And then when I was watching you guys stand up and sit down, right, there was some Speedy Gonzales, but let's just get this over and done with. And then there was some that was like, oh, she's making us stand up and sit down. I'm just so comfortable, I don't want to stand up and sit down, but yeah, okay, everybody else is doing it, so let's just do it, right? Some got up and sat down, oh, relief, I can move my body. And so it was very disconnected the first time, because the first time you were operating from your default nature and samskaras. And that would have created a little reaction in you. I'm having to follow an instruction from the outside. I have to do something. That's a reaction. Right? And you know, that can create other reactions in your mind. And we have done this for many, many births because we haven't been self-conscious. And that's why we end up blaming somebody for the way we feel. Because I'm just doing what you told me to do. But when you are on your seat and you receive that instruction and you're in the awareness of being the soul and you make the choice, the experience is very different. You've just taken back your power to choose. And that's the difference. That's the power of transformation. You have to pull that back. If you're still cruising on your kind of nature and samskaras like this and then like this and then like this, and then it's going to be a bumpy ride because you won't be able, you'll find it difficult to filter information that comes to you. You'll feel compelled. You'll feel obliged. You feel, I have to do this. But when you're in the seat of the master, you're in charge. I choose to do this. This is my experience. And it's a very liberating experience in karma. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I noticed that the first time all the movements were very jerking, and the second time there was this beautiful waves of bodies going up and down, a completely different visual pattern from what I'm observing. It's a shame the cameras weren't turned around, because you would have seen such a completely different look.
Yeah, it's a very simple micro shift. Just get back on your seat. Everything from this seat. And then everything else is a fluid expression. There's no effort. What you've been referring to is an aspect of bhakti. In bhakti, there is bhavna for following God, and a fear of following God too. If you don't follow, I mean, there's bhavna and there's love, and there's also the other side of bhakti is fear too. Now, do you see the optic on that? Your bhavana has interpreted something here. Because you're visually seeing Brahma Baba and you're seeing me in line of Brahma Baba, in your mind you've interpreted me as the mouth of Brahma, and I'm not the mouth of Brahma. But your mind has done all this. Excuse me for unpacking this, but this is where a lot of confusion enters. Because gyan is not bhakti. Right? There was a very simple instruction that just came, and you took that instruction and packaged it to make it palatable for you.
But that's what happened in my life in reality when it's a BK, like Brahma Kumari. So it's a kind of body consciousness. And whatever they, like if you are there,
it's what I call a coping mechanism. You know, we've done that in bhakti. Why has everybody made God omnipresent? Because it's a coping mechanism to prevent themselves from feeling the suffering and to try and create a rosy image that will allow them to exist and live and believe that God is with them. But it's not true. That's my point. So this is the seed of where it all begins. It's a bhavana that comes from bhakti, that will colour and will interpret what is reality, because it creates a coping mechanism, because the soul cannot face the reality of the tamopradhan world. So it's easy to package something and to suddenly make me the mouth of Brahma when I'm not the mouth of Brahma.
I'm very much aware that you're not the mouth of Brahma, but I'm sitting in the consciousness of I am at Rishi Baba House.
Yes. Yes.
Running the center, because right now, because the internal feeling is something different. Whatever you explain, why I'm high, because it's like the experience is missing, but the knowledge is there. Whatever you have said, like through your mouth, whatever things comes out, it just comes like a drawer, not as a brother said, like whatever you have to write, just come with a feeling and flow.
Okay.
So similarly, whenever I like hear any kind of information, knowledge, it's always a word. I'm just hunger. I am craving for the experience of that nirakar, or like I'm just want to dive into that experience. I'm craving for that.
Okay. And so I'm for that, it's not going to come from the outside. It's going to come when you understand the methodology of remembrance. We've just practiced it. You need to practice it by yourself. Because to increase the power of silence in your life, you have to first become introverted. And if you don't develop introversion, you can't accumulate silence. So introverted and solitude. Solitude doesn't mean isolation. It means the ability to hold one pure thought and take juice from it. Have you ever sat somewhere in a corner or anywhere, even in a meeting, and just held this one pure thought, I am a master ocean of peace? That's solitude. So this is personal practice. So all this is not going to come from outside. Your craving is on the inside, so you need to deal with it from the inside, which is understand the methodology that Baba's giving. There are steps in the knowledge that Baba's giving. Understand the methodology and practice it. One second. The question is now how to deal with the outer world. If I'm going to say something to you, everything is happening here. Everything. Here's a tomato. It's a ripe, juicy tomato when it comes off the plant. Okay? It's fresh, it looks whole, clean. You leave the tomato out for 2 weeks. What happens to it? What happens to it?
It rots.
It starts to rot. Are you going to have a major reaction to it rotting? This is the normal process, right? Of entropy. Something has to rot. It has to disintegrate. This is exactly what's happening to this tomato-like world. It started as a juicy, complete state of purity, which has now just reached an end of degradation. So it's nothing to have a scream about. It is what it is. And that's what Baba's trying to tell us. Every one of us has to go through sattva, rajo, tamo. So come back in and go up 1 second to Baba.
Shiv Pita ko ab yaad karo.
So there is only one sanskara that creates distress inside the soul. And that's the one of I want, desire, expectation. I want or I don't want. And that's what creates the distress. I don't want this to be like this. I want this to be like this. And so the non-acceptance of reality, because I haven't come out of my patterns of lust, you know, expectation, desires, the roots of lust. And we have been interfering in people's lives and karmic accounts and controlling and manipulating for births. And the reason that we cannot accept the reality of the drama where it is right now is because we still want something. So drama's accurate. God is perfect. So if there's any issues, it's what's happening here. And this means every individual has to take the time and start clearing this clutter and ironing out all those misguided kinks and, you know, knots of different belief systems inside.
Thank you. On the topic of Sakash, Sakash can be a very ambiguous term. A lot of souls like the idea of being able to benefit others through their thoughts and well wishes, and it comes from every different faith on the earth, believes in the idea that you can benefit others through prayers or good wishes or positive thinking. Can you just define what Sakash means in Baba's terms and how to have accurate good wishes without expectation or some of the other things that get in the way from it being truly effective?
Sakash means current. It is drawing a current, receiving a current from Baba. And I'll put the emphasis on receiving Sakash from Baba. Because once you develop the art of receiving that current from Baba, it automatically does its work. Because for Sakash to reach where it needs to reach, you need height. And there are two words I always say to simplify things, is light and height. The higher you go, the more the vibrations reach. Sometimes there's this addiction because we have these sanskaras of attachment. Oh, I have to give Sakash to this person because they're going through trouble. Oh, but if you look at what's underneath it, there's already a pull there laterally. So there's no height there. Until you get height, you cannot serve with Sakash. And that practice of going up is extremely important. And when I come down to be light, light in my interactions, light in this, light in that. And you know, sometimes there has to be special time for this. Like with Daddy, for example. Yes, Baba asked her to come and create Mini Madhuban in London. But when we were talking with Sister Jayanti and Sister Mahini the other day, Jayanti Ben described that Baba had also sent Daddy a message to say every day from 4 to 5 o'clock in the afternoon, take special time to serve with the power of your mind and give yogdan, the donation of yoga, to the souls that are still to come. And the result of that extra time to serve in an unlimited way meant that it helped amazing service to flourish and blossom in that time. So, you know, for example, after Amrit Vela, Daddy would say to us, she spends 5-10 minutes giving Sakash, taking Sakash from Baba and just giving it to her body. Right? Sometimes we take Sakash from Baba and yes, there might be somebody hanging around at the back of your mind. Just let the current reach that and let them melt into a soul. But if you're still hooked into their suffering, you can't give Sakash. You have to get height to give Sukash. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so it's like you're receiving from Baba and then that does the work. So it's really Baba's doing the work,
yes.
Not me thinking about this soul or that soul or this situation or this place.
Yeah. There isn't a lateral pull. So for example, recently the family in Burma sent out a message. And when they sent out this message, you could see there was a call for some good wishes. And so what do you do in the meditation? That's like the focus is like a searchlight is there, right? Imagine a searchlight going, the searchlight for a moment just stopped there. So I just get height, the searchlight fixed, and then just let what needs to happen need to happen. I don't need to go into the details of the situation. Does that make sense?
It does. You hear different souls say different things. For example, yesterday Sarajbhai was here and there was mention of the fires in LA.
Mm.
And so he was talking about speaking to the elements in our mind to be silent, the flames to be silent, and sort of like visualizing that happening, the Baba's rays bringing silence into the elements. So it's similar but different.
Well, I say if you receive Baba's sakash and let it come into the body, the body's made of the five elements.
Hmm.
You're beginning the emanation of service right here as that sakash is received into the body, because this body is made up of all five elements. So it is you have to stay tuned to receiving from Baba, and it's an act of love. It's not an act of hope. It's an act of love. It's a little bit of sacrifice and renunciation required, because you need to have cultivated a foundation of good wishes. And there's a lot of people in the world that struggle with that. And so the prayer or the mechanisms that are adopted are a support mechanism to try and keep me contained and separated from the suffering I'm seeing. And so it's a coping mechanism, but when there is recognition of Baba, it's not a coping mechanism anymore. Baba is the world benefactor. Baba has come to give salvation. Baba has come. Baba's rays will reach every single soul because every soul is connected to Baba.
So it's not a concept, it's a reality.
It's a reality. It's an act of faith. But we sit with these patterns of bhakti, if you know what I mean, of disbelief, because we've stayed disconnected so long. And so if the root of your practice of giving is disbelief, it's not going to last very long.
Can we have a final meditation commentary where we all experience giving sakash?
Yes, we can go into that. Yes. Yeah, if you can keep it short, that would be helpful.
Om Shanti. Is it on?
Yes.
Okay. Om Shanti, because as you said, Brahma Baba and Shiv Baba, both are equal to me, even though I know he was like us.
What
as a human.
Question?
Question is, do we have to remember both together or just focus on Shiv Baba?
In one line, Brahma Baba has asked us to remember Shiv Baba.
No, but because I have a love for
Brahma Baba has asked us to remember Shiv Baba.
Okay, so that's why. Means my problem.
Brahma Baba has asked us to remember Shiv Baba.
Okay, thank
yes.
you.
Okay. Anybody else before we close?
I don't think we have time, actually.
We've got to go.
So
few
just,
minutes?
Yeah. Just an experience
okay.
of Sukash.
Right. So for a few moments, withdraw your attention from the world outside. The sounds outside. The images outside. And take your attention inside. And gently just step away from all your different senses. Close the doors of the ears, the eyes. As you step inside this home, you detach from the senses. Feel yourself inside as the being, the Shakti, that gives life to this body. Gather this Shakti. Feel yourself to be the soul, separate from this body. Allow the Shakti to become concentrated. Your forehead, and take up the seat of being a detached observer. I am inside, and everything else is outside. On my seat. And then I let myself go beyond, into the home, as a bodiless soul. a bodiless soul with the bodiless father. These vibrations serve the world. My closeness to Baba serves the world. Shanti.